You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery Crate. My name is Chris Whittingham. I'm here with Jessica Smetana, Roy Bellamy, and Chris Cody. And we are here to bring you another few bits of content that we feel really good about this week. First off, Dan has an interview with an NFL draft expert who got all 32 picks correct, including trades. It was absolutely remarkable. What a story. And it's coming to you in just a bit. Also, Chris and Billy had the chance to sit down with, I believe, the president of the American Cornhole League, Chris?
Hard hitting this interview.
Hard hitting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Cornhole, it's right up my alley. Billy whips out a cornhole board and it's a shit show, but it was fun.
So it's one of those visual gags that Billy prepped no one for. And just kind of ran with it.
That's right.
Yesterday, someone tweeted at me that they wished we would stop covering niche sports such as hockey, Formula One, boxing, and soccer. So I hope that person is listening to the American Cornhole Association president this week on Mystery Crate.
Yeah, I hope that person can kiss my ass.
fastest growing sport in the world, this is, folks.
I feel like all of us, in just that tweet alone, I guess, Chris, what is your niche sport of choice?
Is beer pong a sport?
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah. Professional league, yes.
I don't know. That's a good question. What is my niche sport?
Because in that tweet, Jessica representing Formula One, Roy representing hockey, myself representing soccer. I guess no one on this Zoom really represents boxing as such.
Baseball. Baseball is my niche sport.
I mean, but that's the thing, though, Chris. Is like, it used to be the mainstream sports you talked about on like big sports programming that baseball was in and amongst basketball and football. Is it still?
I think it is. For me, it will be. But the common folk, like Jessica, might feel differently. She's younger.
Well, I think if we didn't have Billy on the Levitard show, our baseball conversations would reduce by at least 85%. Is that accurate?
I will say, though, in fairness to Dan Levitard, the host of the program, Dan is a massive baseball fan. I don't think it's kind of like a subtext within the show, but it's something that I've noticed. Like, he'll just randomly pull out observations from games that were probably just on MLB Network that we use on while channel surfing. He started covering the Florida Marlins on a kind of professional basis. Dan's like a low-key huge baseball fan.
See, I couldn't be more into baseball, but I've checked out when you guys just started talking about baseball. There's just something about baseball that I love it, but it's just like, it's just...
Chris, give me a fire take on Tony La Russa right now.
I mean, this guy.
This freaking guy.
This guy. I mean, please.
That's the take. This guy.
Yeah. Guy. I mean, preserving the unwritten rules of baseball against his own team. Who could have seen coming that was not going to go well, the Tony La Russa experience in Chicago?
Like the youngest team in baseball with like the oldest manager.
So speaking of niche sports, Roy, Chris, and myself have all been to at least one Florida Panthers playoff game this week. And, well, at time of recording, it is 2-0 in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, for
You can say fuck's sake, Roy. This is Mystery Crate.
I don't feel like it. Yeah. But I'm so angry, I don't feel like actually saying fuck.
At time of recording, it is 2-0 in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we've been, so Chris.
Let me just say something, okay? Am I allowed to say that I thoroughly enjoyed being at a packed arena? Like, I just feel dirty. I feel dirty saying that, Witty. Am I allowed to say it? Because it felt amazing.
Yes, you are, Chris Cody. Don't feel shame. Don't feel like, well, you know, because Florida's been the most wide open state and, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, South Beach is crazy. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. We can, you know, the hockey has been addressed on the Levitard show proper. But I want to talk about the feeling of being in and around people. Now, I believe everyone on this Zoom is fully vaccinated.
In and around people, Whittingham.
Yeah. In people?
Well, you know, when you're in a crowd. People. I should have said a crowd rather than in people. But I did, like, feel such a sense of freedom after the CDC thing came out. I, like, went to a bar that night And I hadn't been. I was like, you know what? Now that I can, I'm going to go. I went to the hockey game. There's 9,000 people, they say, in an arena.
Way more than 9,000
like very people. Close to each other. Many people are not wearing masks. And you know what? I felt totally fine. Chris, did you feel guilt?
Dude, I got to do the, like, they were down 2-0. There you go, Woody. Hey. And they got a goal in the second period. And there was high fives everywhere. I was high-fiving strangers. I went and sanitized after, but it was great in the moment.
Roy, now, in the press box, I presume there is still some distancing measures. But I did see a photograph that was put up of you and a couple of your favorite Panthers colleagues, notably George Richards and David Dwork. And you were not wearing masks in that picture. What is your feeling now in the aftermath of the CDC guidance that you don't have to wear masks indoors, you don't have to social distance if you are fully vaccinated?
To clarify, we took off our masks for the picture.
Then
we
clarifying
immediately
it.
Put it back on. So, I mean, it was a full press box. During the regular season, they had glass between people, and it was a bit further out, but they had to actually... it was a full press box, so there was more people there during game one and game two. So they took down the glass, and it was a little bit closer together. But I felt perfectly fine, personally, because I'm fully vaccinated. And most of the, I would probably have to say, everybody in there were fully vaccinated. So I felt all right.
Now, Jessica, for the moment, you're in New York. And I imagine New Yorkers probably have a completely different psyche about this, given that really the spread of the pandemic really began in earnest in New York. There was obviously massive devastation in the first months of it. And so I feel like coming out of it is probably going to take a little bit longer for you psychologically.
Yes, although it is strange, like, how much doing normal things just feels normal. I thought I'd be a little anxious to be at a restaurant and travel, like, thought that would be really weird, but it did feel normal. But I will say, I'm happy to see there's so many people at the Panthers game and at all of these Stanley Cup playoff games. It's been awesome to hear crowd noise again. Same with Premier League games, having
a
real
coming?
Crowd.
I feel like there's a butt coming here.
But,
however,
I wish there was better messaging about vaccinations at these events. I don't know, maybe in person there has been better messaging, but I wish I heard on the broadcast, you know, because statistically, only about 40% of the people at the Panthers game are probably vaccinated. I mean, maybe give or take a few percentages. I know that's not exactly how statistics work, but like, it would just make me feel better if we were saying, look at all these people at this game. If we can get herd immunity, say 70% of people in the United States vaccinated, then we'll have a full arena, and keep pushing that messaging. That's all I want.
They did have during one of the intermissions, like a little video of, hey, like the Panthers, like, we're getting vaccinated. It was like the team representative. So that was good. But I'm with you, like, on the TV, they should probably do that.
Yeah, and I believe at Atlanta United, where they had 40,000 in for an MLS game, they actually had a vaccination site in the stadium, and there are people who took advantage of that. So I completely agree with you. Ultimately, this does come down to everyone getting vaccinated. I personally, I don't want to speak for any of you guys, I personally encourage anyone who's listening to go get vaccinated, because it allows all of us to return to a normal. I guess the thing about the CDC guidance was that it basically did leave it in the hands of people to make their own decisions, right? If you are vaccinated, they say that you're going to be good and you're not going to get other people sick. So that's just kind of my feeling about being okay. But you're right. I do think that generally that messaging should be encouraged.
But let's also, there's the elephant in the room here is that people that are anti getting vaccinated are just now like, oh yeah, like if people, like I know a friend that is not getting vaccinated, and if he will now just say, if he walks into a place, yeah, I'm vaccinated, I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're walking around without the masks, too. It's not just vaccinated people walking around without the masks.
Yeah, fuck those people.
Which is why I think we should just be jamming that messaging down their throats. Like, get vaccinated, do it. Jam it down their throats. Annoy the shit out of people with the messaging.
We should be saying, like, hey, just so you know, if you're walking around without a mask right now and you haven't been vaccinated, you're a jerk. If you're vaccinated, good for you. But if you're not, you're kind of a jerk.
Well, I guess the difference between now and the beginning was that now that there are people who are vaccinated, you're making a choice, essentially. The vaccine is widely available in the United States, which, by the way, it is, you know, kind of offensive that there are other countries who are desperate to get vaccine, and we have it in abundance, and people don't want it. But even beyond that, like, that jerk is only putting himself at risk, right? That's the good news in my view, right? Is that I'm vaccinated. I'm no longer being put at risk, right? Like, who aren't wearing masks, who aren't distancing, who are exhibiting behavior that could put other people in danger. So, like, at the very least, I feel a degree of separation from that.
I do wonder, though, if, like, calling those people jerks just alienates them further into believing that they don't need to get vaccinated. So, if anyone is listening who has not been vaccinated and is on the fence, just do it. It's fine.
I regretted doing that. I did regret doing that right when I did it. I mean, Roy said, fuck you, a few minutes earlier, so I felt like a little...
But no regret on that one.
I am wondering, though, what do you guys think? Like, we know roughly the ballpark of, like, downloads we get on this. How many people do you think we're... People are just set in their ways, right? Like, we're not changing anyone's mind.
No, I think the whole point of the vaccination campaign is that it's not even necessarily about doctors and public health specialists anymore. It's about people in your community and your lives talking about it. So I do think if you can have, you know, if you believe in the vaccine, you have conversation with your friends, and you, that friend that you mentioned, like, try and have a, you know, science-based and evidence-based conversation. I feel fine. Millions of people have gotten it and feel fine. And, you know,
long-term effects, Chris.
You know, I've had many vaccines in my life and I feel fine. So, like, I think ultimately the more kind of people like us who are having conversations about this can only be a good thing. If one person who's listening to this podcast right now, send us your vaccine card after having listened to the pod,
yes,
and I'll feel better for having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, don't be an asshole.
Chris, whenever they say that, just say, the long-term effects of COVID, probably worse.
Right. Like, what are the long-term effects of cell phones? Like, who knows?
Oh, God.
Right?
No, I mean, they're like, let's get into our content for Mystery Crate for this week. We begin first. Dan Lebatard interviews an expert who got every single pick in the NFL draft correct in his mock draft, up to and including the trades that happen. Here's Dan.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Mike, this story is nuts. I thought I was being fooled by the internet because I didn't believe it was possible. And I had to come in here and ask you, Mike, is this for real? Like, what? This has to be some sort of spoof. Some dude in Wisconsin got a perfect mock draft where he got every trade, every team, every player selected as if he knew what was going to happen. Like, beyond Schefter and Woj, this seems like a mathematical impossibility. It doesn't even seem informationally like anyone could possibly do this, but it's verified. And this Justin Bamberger is now making the media rounds because his fame has sort of skyrocketed. Did you question, Mike, when this story came out, did you question, this can't be right?
Oh, it's one thing to get every pick right. It's another thing entirely to get every pick and team right. And he was predicting trades, so it was unreal. Yeah, I was skeptical too.
Okay, so he's making the media rounds, and we've gotten a media veil for him, and he joins us now. He's from Racine, Wisconsin. Keith, thank you for making the time for us. And I just can't believe how this happened. I'm stunned that this is a real thing, but I'm thrilled to talk to you because I don't know how seriously you take this stuff. And I don't know what's happened to your life since this happened because you've become internet famous very quickly.
That Dan Lebatard, man. Fucking love you. This is... That fucking, I can see it's Dan Lebatard. Shelly, look.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy.
Look at it. Dan Lebatard, man. Oh, ballers. Ballers. Oh. Ballers. Yeah. Is the fuck, I don't know how it goes, man. Is The Rock with you?
The like, Rock? Why would The Rock?
What's that?
Why would The Rock be with me?
What'd you say?
Why would the? Can you turn the radio down, please? Or is that what are you? What is
Shelly,
that?
Turn the fucking radio down.
Did you say The Rock was there?
I think he said The Rock was there. Hold on. Is The Rock there? Ballers!
No, The Rock is not here. I made one appearance on Ballers. It was one line. I don't know why The Rock...
One more than me, brother. One more than me. You're fucking awesome. My lady Shelly fucking loves you.
Okay,
Cubano! Cubano!
Yes, that's true.
Can you get, like, Cuban cigars? Like, is that...
Come on, Keith. Yes, of course I can get Cuban cigars, but I've got problems with the politics and the lack of an embargo. What are you doing?
Ballers!
Woo! All right. Keith, thank you for joining us. What is happening right now in terms of life change for you? Because how did you do this? How did you get this mock draft? How did you get everything right?
A Bears traded up, brother. Bears traded up and Leatherwood. Those were the two biggies, man. And we were watching it. My friends were like, you're crazy. I'm like, Mayock likes to go lineman. He likes to break the predictions. They get off on it. I'm telling you, Leatherwood's good. He's a reach. And then I just like the Falcons had to take Pitts. They had to, man. There's no way. How do you look at Pitts and not take him? And if they take Pitts, you know that Fields is falling. Trey Lance was obvious. Everyone knew that was bullshit from the 49ers. Shelly even called that one, like, day one when they traded up. Shelly's like, they're not fucking going for
Lance.
There's no fucking way. Baller! Look! It's him on the Zoom.
Oh, my God. I love you.
Okay. I am very happy that you're so happy to be on with us. Can you tell me a little bit more about what this time has been like for you? Because you're getting now calls from all over the country, I would imagine.
Oh, shit, man. It just popped off. It was the second. And then the last one was the Packers getting Stokes, which, you know, everyone's like, fuck you. You know, fuck you, Justin. They're gonna pick an offensive player. They wouldn't do that. I was like, you watch. They got Jair Alexander. They need another cornerback. They don't give a shit about Rodgers. And as soon as Stokes went up, there was like Shelly started crying. Shelly called her stepmom. Her stepmom's on the phone crying. My dad, who I haven't talked to in 3 years, calls me. My mom's boyfriend calls. People start showing up from the neighborhood, just coming in. Like, as soon as that Stokes pick went up, everyone started knowing this could happen, because the rest were fairly, you know, you knew the Bucks are going to go linebacker. They need, the only thing they could build out was their defense, because they already had all the weapons on offense. And just the words started trickling around town. Phones started ringing. Instagram started blowing up. IG started blowing.
Getting, like, fruit baskets at the house.
Oh, my God. We were getting fruit baskets, which, you know, last time that happened was, you know, was when my ex-wife died. It's the last time I had any fruit basket sent to me. And that was it, man. And then, everyone was, the proof was there. The draft was posted on my IG page, so no one could doubt it. And then the next thing I did is one of the greatest days of my life. I went to work and I told them to in the old song, take this job and shove it. I was like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Middle fingers everywhere. I'm fucking out of here. Knocked over a filing cabinet, like kicked out a glass window over at Horizons Hospice, where I've worked for 9 years, told everyone to fuck off. All the nurses, the patients, goodbye. And fucking Shelly and I drinking nonstop, doing a little toot to keep the party rolling.
We rented a convertible.
Oh, Shelly's idea, you rented a convertible. We're like driving with our hands up. It's been fucking, oh my God, man, nonstop.
Toot. Okay, so toot. I didn't know we were still calling it toot, but you're going to have to help me with something here. I don't think it's a good idea to quit your job. Well, I'm not here to moralize, obviously, but what are you doing? Like, what do you mean you're partying in a way that's telling everybody to bleep off?
I fucking hit it, man. I hit the trifecta. Like, fuck everyone at Horizons Hospice, man. Fucking all those people screaming at me all day long, all those nurses. I just middle fingers up and down the line. And they got pissed. They're like, hey, you know, I'm with Mr. Willard. He's in his last moments with his family. And I'm like, fuck you. Stokes to the Packers. Leatherwood to the Raiders. Bears traded up.
Bears traded up.
Oh.
Is that a dog? Was there a dog there? Or was it what
yeah.
you said?
Yeah, it's my pups, man. It's BJ.
Are you going to be able to? Are you going
to? Shut the fuck up, BJ! Shut up! Fucking mutt. He's been we've been partying so hard, he's been shitting all around the house. Baller! Look, it's him!
Travis!
Look!
Nugget!
Oh, get Travis! Oh. Travis, look! Baller's dude!
Dude, what's up?
Oh, my God!
Who is Travis?
Travis is my kid brother. He just got out of county. He was in county for 90 days. And he walked right into the party.
Are you going to be able to monetize this? Because quitting your job without being able to, I don't know how you monetize this.
What do you mean?
Well, it's a remarkable thing. Obviously, we're talking to you because nobody gets a complete mock draft 100% correct. But I don't know how you make money off of something like this.
Well, no, like I picked the perfect first round, though. I got all the picks. And it's dated on Instagram. Like, people are starting to call me, like, you, like, baller's guy. Like, I'm set, motherfucker. Woo! I'm set. We're set.
Yeah.
Right?
I just don't know. Do you have a good agent? Do you have a publicist? Do you have someone who can help you with sort of navigating this? I don't know how you monetize this.
My grandfather's a notary, Republic. When we bought our jet ski, he was the guy who came by. He stamped it, so it's all official. So... my grandfather, he's...
No, I know
what
it's...
Do you, what no. Do you like? No, we picked the draft, right?
I know, no,
when
I know.
The checks, when does the money... like?
No, I know it's legitimate. I know
when
it's
does the money show up?
I know it's verified. I know that this is a factual thing that happened, even though it seems like a mathematical impossibility. I know it's been notarized, authentic, and official. I just don't understand how one would make money off of something like this.
I mean, Shelly and I were talking.
Yeah, they send the checks, right, Baller?
Don't they? What do you mean? Like, when's the money? Why? I just assumed it was coming. Like, we nailed it.
You did nail it. Yes, you did nail it.
DraftKings or one of those things or?
No, but how?
Government?
I mean.
After tax day, we get something.
After what?
After tax day. Like, we'll just get something from the government or something.
I don't think the government would reward a fake mock draft. I don't. Do you not have
Leatherwood though? No one saw Leatherwood go into the Raiders. No one. Like Bears trading up wasn't that crazy, but Leatherwood, I didn't.
Do you have representation? Do you have someone guiding you through this? Because you should have someone helping you here.
I haven't talked to my sister in a few years, but she's a prison guard. Like, is that someone who can, cause she's pretty official. Now I'm starting to feel bad. Why are you making me feel bad? Like,
I'm sorry. I did not mean to ruin your party. I'm just asking the questions. I was assuming you were getting these questions from other journalists. This isn't you've been doing some interviews. You're making the tour now.
I did the local paper. You know, we did a couple of the local papers. We did the local, we did the morning jam. We did the Beast, 103.9, the Beast. I've been listening to those guys for years, Teddy and Carew. And we've done a bunch of stuff. You're the baller's guy. I mean, you're the first. I don't know. Now I'm thinking about this money thing. I mean, we go on like Fallon or something, like how.
I'm sure you can get a lot of interviews, but can you get your job back? Like, I think you may have made an error there, and I don't know that they would take you back or they even understood what you were doing.
Like, I bought shit, too. Shelly and I have been buying stuff. I mean, I never thought about it, but you know what, baby? He's fucking right. It's not... I just thought, like, ESPN would give us a job or, like... the guru of Racine or something. It was like hitting the lottery numbers.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Don't they know it's a big deal?
It is a big deal. I'm not disputing that. It's a big deal. Like, I was eager to talk to you because I can't believe you did this. I don't even understand how you did it.
Oh, fuck, man. I bought a pickup. I bought a 4x4. Oh, shit. I bought a used Papa Shop machine from this restaurant closed. I overpaid on that, man. What did we pay for that baby? It was like $30,000 we paid for that. Oh, man.
$30,000?
Ah.
Are you getting bad financial advice? Are you getting any guidance on this?
I mean, my grandfather's a notary. He helped us get the Papa shot. He helped us negotiate that.
The notary and the prison guard stuff, none of this stuff is going to help you. I don't understand what that has to do.
You don't fuck with a prison guard. Like, I mean, they're bonded. They've got a badge. She carries a firearm. She's got authority. She's respect. I mean, in a way, like, fuck you. What have you done? Like, you've been on ball. All right. You've been on Ballers. I'm back off. I'm getting hot. My mind's going 1,000 different places.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to upset you. And I didn't mean to turn this into something that is less than a normal interview. It's not something that I had considered. I thought part of the reason you were coming on with us is to explain how impossible this is. Not that you had turned your life around or made rash life decisions.
We've done a lot of cocaine too. I mean, we spent 10 grand on the coke. Mm. This is all borrowed money.
Can't get that back.
We get paid for this, right? Like,
when does that come?
We get like 100 grand for this interview?
No, we don't pay for it. No, 100 grand. No, we don't pay for it. We don't pay for interviews around here. You were offered to us as part of a media tour.
A
media tour. It's part of your
Wait a minute. I get it. I fucking get it. He and his crew picked a mangy ass mock draft. So now they got to fucking take us down a peg. Fuck you, man.
Yeah, fuck you, man.
Oh, come on. Come on.
We fucking nailed it. Yeah. And Mr. Ballers.
Mr. Jealous Ballers.
Didn't fucking hit it. He and his hotshot crew did the usual shit. Mac Jones going to the 49ers. You did that shit, didn't you?
I can't believe you fuckers got Leatherwood. How the fuck did you get Leatherwood? I am so mad. Tell us
how you got him.
Tell us how you got Leatherwood.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
That guy was absolutely insane.
I have never, in a piece of Dan Levitard's show, Levitard and Friends content, ever heard so many F-bombs fired off in quick succession. That guy was a lunatic.
How was that edit?
Bet.
Oh, no, wait, we're on Mystery Crate.
I just heard
it. I heard all the F-words.
Okay, do you want to give the listeners a behind the scenes on what editing the show was like in the in the era of podcasts where some cursing is allowed but F-bombs aren't? Because
why are we bleeping anything? I thought we're like a pirate ship now. We're worried about these like seven listeners we have that listen with their 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Like,
were you put on the same? Were you put on the same?
Pirate kids.
What kind of parenting advice is that? Teach your children curse words?
Have you ever met a 42-year-old and you're like, man, this kid cursed too much as a kid? No, you haven't, because it's not that big of a deal. They're going to learn the words anyways eventually. Like, come on.
I just like the idea of like little kids riding around in a van and they're hearing Greg Cody talk about skid marks, but they're not allowed to hear the F word.
Either way, we have to edit out the F-bombs out of the Dan Levitard show. And I guess in some ways, this is no longer about editing out the F-bombs for the kids that listen or for the parents that listen with their kids. It really is for the parlor game of people in the audience who point towards Chris and I and go, you missed an F-bomb in hour 2, minute 18, second 36, and I get a frantic text going, take the F-bomb out! And that's really the not
What do we
fun
say
bit.
To those people, Roy?
They can kiss our asses.
Yeah, I was gonna say go fuck yourself, but I guess that's a little strong.
Well, here's Chris and Billy with the head of the American Cornhole League.
very exciting episode of the Mystery Crate today. We're joined by the commissioner of the American Cornhole League, Stacy Moore. Mr. Commissioner, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I don't want to offend you in any way, so I want to try to get these things right on the front end of this, right? So I have seen the ACL. I saw it on ESPN recently. I think it's fair to say that it is a sport, correct?
Yeah, I certainly believe it's a sport. Anyone who comes out and tries to play against our pros and they think they're really good and they come out and they play against these guys and they get beat 21-0, then they recognize, okay, there's a lot more skill and talent to this tailgating game that these guys are playing at the professional level. So our professional cornhole players have played for hours and hours and hours, played in a ton of tournaments. Typically, you know, anyone who's starting out trying to be a competitive player, it probably takes them 3 years of dedicated play to get really good at it. So, but our tagline is anyone can play, anyone can win. So I think there's definitely a level where you can get really good fairly quickly with our sport, but then to crack and win an event on ESPN, that's even a different level.
Now, are we leaning into the fact, because when I think, and apologies if this is an offensive thing to say about cornhole, when I think of cornhole, I think of drinking, okay? So I'm wondering, yes, is it something that we're leaning into, or are we trying to distance ourselves and say we're more than just a drinking sport?
Yeah, we're really neutral on it. So I wouldn't say we're leaning into it, and we're not shying away from it, right? So you never know what's in the cup of these players that are on the broadcast, we like to say. You know, certainly there's an element to drinking, but again, I drink when I play golf. So, and whether I'm playing socially or competitively, you know, and I think a lot of these other sports that you've seen, golf specifically, you know, there's a lot of people known for having, you know, a pint of liquor in their golf bag as a professional golfer out there on the golf course. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we're obviously outwardly saying, you know, this is an awesome thing about our sport. But we're also, like I said, not shying away from it. And we always want to keep our sport fun and embrace kind of the enjoyment that people have when they play.
So, Mr. Commissioner, one of the things that's concerning me here is that while we said on the front end, you know, these are athletes, not just anyone can do it. I myself used to be a college athlete. So I thought, you know what, maybe I have a bit of a head start on this. I've been to tailgates. I've played cornhole before. I feel like if I get the right instruction, maybe I could turn pro one day. So I set up a game of cornhole here. I have the bags here and I was hoping you could give me instruction, but now you're saying 3 years. And by my math, that would mean by May of 2024, I would be a professional cornholer. Is that the proper term, professional
cornholer? Yeah, well, I would say, and that's on average. I mean, certainly if you're a natural athlete, you have a leg up on people that would, and you have really good eye-hand coordination. So obviously sports that translate well are bowling, softball, baseball, or sports that naturally translate well to cornhole. So certain people can be on different paths. So you never know, Bill. You might have a chance to do it in 6 months. Let's see.
Give me an example of a diva in the cornhole game. Like the best, like I'm sure you guys have like a LeBron James or a Michael Jordan of cornhole. Like I'm sure there's a guy you're thinking of right now. Like what kind of treatment does he get compared to your, you know, middle of the road cornhole player?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Guys is known as the GOAT of cornhole. We have Cody Henderson, who is a one of our top players, been a top player for the last 3 years, been on a lot of our PR, a lot of our broadcasts, and they definitely get treated differently. I think people are scared of them when they have to play against them, no matter what. They certainly have developed their own fan bases, right? They're signing autographs, taking pictures. You know, so we still try to humble them every now and then, but those guys are getting pretty big time.
Now, this league is the American Cornhole League and, you know, America. But what's the long-term play here? Are we going international? Could this ever be like an Olympic sport? Like, what's the end game here, Spence?
Yeah, so that's, I mean, certainly our goal is to make an Olympic sport. And so we started USA Cornhole as the nonprofit to create the USA national team to do just that. We also started the World Cornhole Organization to be the international federation to make an Olympic sport. And so our goal over the next 5 years is to be in 50 countries having competitive play. So the way we look at it, the ACL would be equivalent to the NBA, and USA Cornhole would be equivalent to USA Basketball, and the World Cornhole Organization is equivalent to FIBA.
How's your cornhole game?
My cornhole game absolutely sucks.
Really?
I suck at cornhole. So, yeah.
Still have a great time playing it, I bet.
Yeah, I'll have a great time playing it. And it's fun. So, yeah, at some of these events, especially the pro players, they love it. Anytime I pick up a bag and try to throw one, and they'll create competitions. So, for example, last weekend in Las Vegas, someone got me into a money match where they spotted me 20 points playing to 21. And, of course, I got beat 21-20. Couldn't even get a single point, but I did my best and I had fun doing it.
Now, I know you, like you said, your skills are maybe not up there, but you know the game. So what's the proper technique for throwing? Am I doing the frisbee spin where it's kind of torpedoing yes. through the air? Or are we doing almost like a knuckleball spin where I'm just releasing it and it's not rotating at all in the air? What's the proper way to throw?
You definitely want to perfect your version of the frisbee spin. Typically, the flatter the bag, the better, because you have more control over it. And then when it hits the board, the slide of the bag becomes a lot more predictable. So if you're throwing a really flat bag and you're hitting it in the same spot every time where it would slide into the hole, then it should slide into the hole every time.
All right, Mr. Commissioner, I'm going to try, and then hopefully you can give me some tips on what I'm doing. So is it similar to kind of like you have the follow through in the bowling? Well, hold on a second. My dog just stole the bag.
Yeah. See if he'll bring it back to you.
Dopey, come here. No, he's not. He's not listening. He's eating the bag. Okay. Yeah. So we'll just move past that. So you said that I should do kind of like the frisbee toss. Well, no.
Yeah, but it's not. So when I say a frisbee toss, it's not like you're doing a frisbee motion. So you still want to bring your arm down to your side like that. Yes. Uh-huh. And then when you release it, you're kind of throwing it up almost like a pizza, right? And that's what will give it that flat spin. So when you bring it back, you want to turn your wrist a little bit back. Like if you have a back fence, you want to turn your inside other way. Yeah. That way. And then
I'm just going to say it. He's terrible at this, right? Like, come on.
Then when you come forward, yeah, that's
boom.
It.
Oh, wow. Right in. He
did you just make it?
Shut me up.
Yeah.
How do we feel about his board, Stacy? I mean, it needs to be a wood board. This seems to be some material. This is not.
I can't
There's
tell
a little bounce to it.
I can't tell if that's a 3x2 or an actual 4x2 board, number one.
This is an official. This is an official board.
If you pick it up for me, let me see what it looks like.
Well, if I do that,
is it wood? Is it even wood?
No. Well, okay. Let me pretend it's really heavy. Oh, see how wooden it is.
Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. It's not wood. Yeah.
That's not. Yeah.
See, I was worried that this would offend you, and that when I brought it out, you would know that it was kind of like a fraud. If I spend 3 years training on this, I probably won't go pro.
No, because if you learn how to perfect your game on that particular board, it definitely will not translate to one of our events. So I would definitely suggest you get some official ACL pro gear to start training on.
Well, I was looking that up. I was looking to see how much the bags cost. And I saw that you could get like a good set for like $80 to $120.
Yeah, that's about the range of a high quality set of bags.
What's an example of confrontation between two cornhole teams? Like, give me the most ridiculous. Like, what are we fighting over? What's like the most common controversies in the game?
There'll be some trash talking that goes on here and there. There's some etiquette to the sport that some people may like. If they're making a noise in someone's backswing, or they might clap right when they're about to release the bag or something like
Ooh.
That.
Are these unwritten rules? Like your Texas?
I like this.
I'm allowed to distract you. Like there's nothing in the rules.
The unwritten rules.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an unwritten etiquette that people kind of have a line on. The foul is a common one that could be argued about a little bit, but the game is pretty much straightforward, and so people just get really emotional whenever they hit shots or miss shots, right?
Yeah.
Is there a Pete Weber of cornhole that we don't know of that we should know of?
Yeah. So, yeah, Matt Guy would be considered equivalent to a Pete Weber of cornhole, Cody Henderson as well. So those two guys are at the top of the sport. We actually have Damon Dennis this year. He's one of our seniors. he actually had a muscle and fitness piece written on him, of all things. People probably would have never thought a cornhole player would have make an appearance in Muscle and Fitness, but Damon Dennis did. Nickname is Double D. So, you know, that's a pretty cool guy to for people out there to root for.
How long of a career can a cornhole athlete have?
Well, that's just the thing. Damon is doing it, and I don't know for sure what his age is, but he is he's definitely around 60. Let's just say that.
Is there any drug testing involved in cornholing?
We are not drug testing currently, no.
Ooh, Mr. Commissioner.
What's the most common injury in cornhole? Is it just passing out from being hammered?
That's definitely a common injury. Drinking too much and tripping over the board is one. But these guys are grinding all day, throwing a lot of bags. And so that elbow, almost like a tennis elbow, you know, would be. It's similar. People's arms just get really sore. Their shoulders get sore from throwing as many bags as they do at our event.
What's the evolution of this sport going to look like in 20 years? Like, you know, because now I look at ESPN and I'm not throwing stones. I'm a doughy guy. Right. I see a lot of doughy guys playing this sport. Is this going to be like golf 20 years from now where everyone's going to look like Brooks Koepka?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves, right?
So, people going to get bigger and like,
right? And so yeah, and golf is right one of those sports. Like I'm a huge John Daly fan, and that's one of the things I love about golf is, quote, you don't have to be the model athlete, but we have a wide range. Like you said, we have doughy people, and we have, you know, ex college football players that are super ripped that are playing our sport at the top level, and I think that's one of the great things about it, and. You know, we'll have to see. But I think that anyone who can get that muscle memory down and that repetition, very similar to bowling, you can excel at our sport.
Is it fair to say that this is the biggest sport in the world? Because I think of every sporting event that I go to, basketball, football, baseball, if there's tailgating, people are playing cornhole. So I would think just by that logic that it is as big as every sport combined.
I would love to be able to agree with you. However, I don't think people tailgate internationally in the same way that we do here in the U.S. And unfortunately, I think we have to take a backseat to soccer right now still as being the largest international sport. But no. I would love to clip soccer. And we want to take not only cornhole, but we would love to take U.S. style tailgating to all the soccer matches all over the U.S., all the cricket matches, you name the sport. We want to take USA-style tailgating and cornhole to those sports across the world.
Mr. Commissioner, with all due respect, that's a bit of a defeatist attitude, just saying we're going to take second place to soccer. You need to say, you know what, soccer, we're coming for you. And yeah. Let's say 3 years, because that's how long it takes the average person to be a professional cornholer. Soccer, yeah. You've been put on notice by Mr. Commissioner. 3 years from now, backseat to cornhole.
That's right. I did say that in a softer way, but that is my goal, to be bigger than soccer.
We're coming for you, soccer.
We're coming for you, soccer. You better recognize.
Where can we check out the ACL?
So our website, iplayacl.com, and our social media handles at American Cornhole League and at iplayacl, all over social media. We have our ACL digital network. We did 5.3 million viewers just off of one broadcast last week. So we're super pumped to continue to aggressively grow our audience and bring this sport to everyone all around the world. And we've got our CBS shows coming up. So our new ACL Pro Shootout
and CBS. This is bigger than soccer. We're already here.
So for the first time ever, we're going to have cornhole on actual network television. So we have our World Championship Series that's going on ESPN, and we're starting our ACL Pro Shootout with our first broadcast on CBS, and that runs through September. So people will be able to watch us on CBS and ESPN all spring and summer long.
Mr. Commissioner, what do you say we shotgun a beer on the way out, me and you?
I wish I had one right here. I would definitely do it. I'm about to take a rain check on it.
All right. So
come out to one of our events, and I'll shotgun a beer with you on camera. How about that?
I have to mention my only cornholing anecdote, which is that in high school, I lost the finals of a cornhole tournament to current NBA player Frank Kaminsky and lost free homecoming tickets because I think it was cheating that he was 7 feet tall and was able to just kind of dunk the bags into the hole. But either way, I lost, and I'm still very upset about that.
Solid name drop, for sure.
Basically a free throw.
Yeah, I got to tell exactly you, I feel like among the rules of cornhole should be no overhand tossing. You're basically saying Frank Kaminsky like started high and went down? Because
I mean, his wingspan was as long as the entire plot of grass
for me, you're not playing cornhole unless you do the underhand toss. Yeah. Like,
if you're tall enough that you can do it like a beer pong shot, that's just insane.
No, it's cheating. Yeah, it's bad form by Frank Kaminsky.
Frank the Tank.
Tall people have all the luck.
Except late in life when their knees hurt. I was in Charleston and I walked by this. I mean, I don't know why I just dropped that I was in Charleston. It could have been anywhere. I was recently walking by this guy and it was just, he must have been 7 foot tall. And I was just like, wow. First of all, everyone's staring at this guy. And then I was just thinking his late life is not going to be enjoyable. Like, that was just all I was thinking.
But anyone can have bad knees late in life.
That's true.
Excellent
but just
point.
More likely, right? More likely? I don't know. Like,
I would say almost definite at 7 feet. At 7 feet, you're definitely having knee problems. Whereas at least, like, maybe you take care of your joints in your 30s and 40s, and you can get late in life without your knees bothering you. But, yeah, seven-foot tall guy is always going to have knee problems. Did you have a nice time in Charleston, Chris?
I did, actually. I ate
some. Jessica and I can let you in on something now. Yeah. It can be revealed. When we were when everyone was in town for the Meadowlark meetings, Kate Fagan came up to Jessica and I and goes, "Hey, so Chris Cody has said that he's coming to Charleston, and I need to know, should I give him the bougie Charleston recommendations or like kind of like maybe just, you know, like the common touristy recommendations?"
I thought you were going to say she had to be pointed out which one is Chris Cody. Chris Cody told me he's going to Charleston, and I just need to know where's...
So did Kate do well in terms of her recommendations?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Kate, I'm going to give her a little credit now. Not only did she do well with recommendations, she got me into a restaurant that I couldn't get a reservation for.
Wow.
So, like, Kate just... Wow. And at that place, I think I had, like, the best bite of the entire trip at that place. So, and she recommended a good couple, like, happy hour type bars that we went to. She was on point with her recommendations.
What was the bite?
It was at Fig. It was an appetizer. It was like a sushi rice bowl. What's like the rice bowl called in the Asian world? It's like
Shirashi.
Poke, whatever. It was something. It was that, but it was like just rice, and it was a beeline snapper, and it had like what tasted like popcorn on it. I'm telling you, it was just an amazing bite. It sounds ridiculous, but it was just phenomenal.
All right, so fair play to Kate Fagan. Officially announced this week as a member of Meadowlark Media. That'll do it for us this week on Mystery Crate. We'll be back with more next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.